Welcome to Reading Deeply, Fueling the Brain, your guide to unlocking the power of reading, knowledge, and comprehension. I'm Tanya Vince, lead for teaching and learning, and I'm excited to be your host today along with Kate Rosendahl, a K-6 instructional coach. Together, we'll explore how language and knowledge can shape our minds and fuel our learning. We'll be joined by our fellow instructional coaches, Amanda Steele, Sarah Presso, and Aaron Little, along the way, who will be adding to the conversation throughout the series. This is our October edition of the podcast, focusing on the role of knowledge, building a foundation for deep reading.
We're thrilled to have you with us. Whether you're listening in your car, out for a walk, tidying up your kitchen, or just relaxing with a cup of coffee, we're here to keep you inspired. Each month, we'll feature voices from teachers in our board, sharing their thoughts and experiences as we explore the book, Know Better, Do Better, Comprehension, Fueling the Reading Brain with Knowledge, Vocabulary, and Rich Language by David and Meredith Leiben.
Now let's dive into the first chapter of the book. One of my favorite quotes from this chapter is, "Knowledge seems to have a greater impact on text comprehension than general reading comprehension or decoding skills. And knowledge may help to compensate for lower levels of comprehension and decoding skill." We're already doing collectively so much important work to help our students develop their coding skills through the use of UFLY and Hagerty, and now in the junior grades, Bug Club Morphology and Catch Up Your Code. But by also providing our students with strong background knowledge, we can better meet the diverse needs in our classrooms. Struggling readers can access higher level text by using the knowledge and vocabulary they've been taught to support their reading. Our DSB1 communities are becoming increasingly culturally diverse, and we're supporting more multilingual learners all the time. These strategies in this chapter are particularly beneficial for these students, but it's important that we regularly check to ensure that they understand what they're hearing, discussing, and reading. The strategies from this chapter can also support our French immersion and our core French students in accessing text that they might otherwise find very challenging. I was a French immersion principal for 14 years, and I often heard teachers talk about how their students were struggling to access text because they lacked the French vocabulary to understand and express themselves. I was thinking that by providing background knowledge, we can scaffold their learning and enable them to engage with these texts, whether we do this through read-alouds, independent reading, videos, and more. Kate, what's your favorite quote from the first chapter?
Really resonated with me was, "Knowledge works like compound interest. It builds on itself powerfully, so the earlier we start to grow it, the better." I love this idea. So many people compare children's brains to sponges, and this is a perfect example. We see it when we start a new unit in class and students' hands shoot up, eager to share what they already know. Or when we hear, "I learned about that last year." Children are naturally curious, and it's our job to help build and grow that knowledge. Another quote that really stood out to me is, "All students at every reading level can engage in learning about the world together." It's so true that students who struggle with reading often will feel left out when they are given different assignments. Creating inclusive classroom communities where every student feels valued and can contribute is so important.
Exactly. Now let's talk about resources. We don't want you to feel like you need to spend hours digging for picture books that align with a specific topic. Our school libraries and classrooms are full of authentic texts that can help you build text sets, leveled books, picture books, articles, magazines, and more. Kate, what are some resources you recommend?
Did you know that many public libraries offer special perks for educators, such as longer borrowing times and larger book limits? You can also arrange for field trips, and libraries can even bring in books from other libraries in the province if they don't have a title you're looking for. There are also some great free websites like readworks.org, openlibrary.org, and Unite for Literacy for French immersion teachers. Make sure to check out the resource list in the podcast email. There's literally something for everyone.
Great suggestions. I recently tried using AI to create text just to see what it could do. I asked ChatGPT to write a text for a grade 3 reader about the growth and changes in plants, and another for a grade 6 reader about electrical phenomena, energy, and devices. I must admit, I was impressed with the text provided. While I wouldn't rely on it heavily, it would be a helpful tool to build text sets around topics. Also, websites like ReadWorks and Common Lit already have text sets organized by topic. Facinghistory.org is another great resource, especially for upper grades. And don't forget about videos from CBC Kids, TED Ed, and PBS, which are great for building knowledge.
Absolutely. And don't forget about Idelo for French resources. There is so much out there.
Such great advice, Kate. And speaking of challenges, don't forget the secret word.
Yes, make sure you listen closely for it and send it in for your chance to win a prize.
If you're wondering how to fit this instruction into your day, I would really recommend following the literacy block samples I shared in an email in June and then in the September S'mores newsletter. These samples are based on examples from OnLit, and we've adapted them to include the resources that we use at DSB1. For example, the junior literacy block sample starts with 30 minutes of oral language and knowledge building. By incorporating strategies from Know Better, Do Better, you'll gain a deeper understanding of how to support your students' comprehension and vocabulary development.
If you have any questions or ever need support, please don't hesitate to reach out to your instructional coach. We're here to help.
And now we have a couple guests from DSB1 who are joining us. A warm welcome to Carrie Stack, who is a grade 3 teacher at Iroquois Falls Public School, and Andrew Ray, who teaches a high support class at Golden Avenue Public School. Thank you both so much for being here.
Hi, Andrew. Thanks so much for being here with us today.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Our first question for you is, what do you think teachers can do to help students develop a love of reading that may lead to more reading outside of school?
I think one of the things that stood out for me as I was reading this chapter was the quote from Leiben saying, children need to see themselves as valued and present in the books they're reading and have a sense of self as they read as either early readers or just as readers. And I think students need to have ownership see that they have ownership over important ideas in texts. And the example from, again, the text about the sign said no spitting and the young girl's interest in the spitting sign, and then understanding the larger social justice issues around that really speaks to when children are interested, engaged, lots of comprehension can happen, even things that are surprising.
Thank you so much. So knowledge building is ideal for integrating different subjects into the literacy block. Can you share an example of how you build other subject areas into your literacy block?
I like to use unit studies on social science or social studies topics that students naturally either seem interested in, or maybe social justice issues that pop up in the news or through conversations with students, and build texts around those interests to help them not only be engaged, but at the same time cover some curriculum. And in the future, I would use some of Leiben's suggestions and using different leveled texts, even at grade level texts, and readers who can read at that grade level, using lower level texts in order to help build comprehension for those larger, more complicated parts of the text or ideas that are bigger and more complex.
Much for your time today, Andrew. We really appreciate you joining us.
Hello, Carrie. Thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
I'm really excited to be chatting with you today. Thanks for having me.
My first question for you today is, I was wondering if you can tell me about how you've used or you use read alouds to build knowledge in your classroom.
So one of the ways that I help to build knowledge using read alouds is really being strategic about the text that I'm choosing for my students, and also thinking about connecting to other subject areas such as science and social studies. So for example, my grade 2 students in science right now, we're talking about air and water. And one of the read alouds that we've been working on this week is Nibby's Water Song and the Water Protectors. So what I'm trying to do is make a connection to the science unit, also making a connection to the writing piece and building their vocabulary. So another way that I like to build knowledge through read alouds is thinking about the comprehension piece and being really strategic and mindful about the text that I'm choosing to read to my students, and also really setting a purpose for the reading. So when I'm looking at a text before reading with the students, I'm thinking about, what's the comprehension strategy I want to bring out of here? Is there a text feature I want to look at? Is there a connection to science and social studies and those vocabulary words that I want to bring out as well? And I also like using the 5-day structure for read alouds. That was shared on the OnLit website, and it's a nice way for me to pick one read aloud. I can use it for the entire week, and each day as a scaffold, just build on that thinking. So we do focus heavily on vocabulary in my classroom, and one thing that I've recently started with my students is building a vocabulary door in which the students add a new vocabulary word from a read aloud that we've used, and we actually post it on our door, and we talk about the meaning and how that vocabulary word can be used, and then the students are encouraged throughout the day to try and use that word in a sentence, and actually it supports vocabulary in the whole school, because as students walk by our door, they look at our vocabulary door. And we also promote them using the word.
I really love that, the building of vocabulary and using it in different contexts. We know, in order to get it to stick, right, for them to really understand it and reuse it, it's important to revisit it, not just in the context in which it was taught. That was wonderful. Another question I have for you is, how have you found ways to incorporate more reading in your day? And I know this can be a real struggle with the busyness of our school days.
So during our literacy center time, students who aren't working in a small group with myself or the EA always have an opportunity to use that time to read. Students have a choice to read individually. They can read with a buddy. One of the ideas that I saw recently on OnLit by Laura Bross, and it's worked really well for my class, is giving them some strategies when they're reading with a partner. So that could be a turtle cheetah reading. It could be echo reading with me or we, and using these strategies to be highly engaged. Often when the kids are given a purpose or a type of reading that they want to do, then it gets them more involved and more motivated to read with a partner. And some of these strategies also help to alleviate the stress that some students might feel during that reading time. So another way that I like to build reading in throughout the day is I read a chapter book daily to my students for about 5 to 10 minutes. This is a great way for the students to transition in from recess or maybe from a subject area. And it's really just a time for us to enjoy reading, but it's also a sneaky way for me to support comprehension and building vocabulary through my own think alouds and discussions with the kids. So during our literacy center time, students have the opportunity to build books and create books. And what we've been doing when the students are finished these books are putting them into our classroom library. So when students are finished work early or they have time to read independently or with a peer, they can go to the library and they can choose to read these books together. And what I'm finding is the students are not only highly motivated to make the books, but they're highly motivated to read the text. And the students really do feel a sense of pride for being an author who contributes to these texts, and the kids love seeing each other reading their stories.
Thanks, Carrie. As always, I just enjoyed sitting down with you, talking to you, and just learning from your insight.
The secret word is knowledge.
Kate, do you have any last minute tips you'd like to share with us?
Yes. Don't be afraid to start with simpler texts and work your way up to grade level texts. In the first chapter, they mention that no source is too simple when you're growing knowledge. It's human nature to look for the simplest and clearest explanation when learning something new. For example, if I had to build a new piece of furniture and I was given the option of reading a long, wordy manual versus a clear step-by-step list, I'd definitely be going for that list. The same goes for our students. Start with accessible texts and let their knowledge grow from there. It's so important to provide our students with opportunities to read independently. Not all students have the chance to read at home for various reasons. While we can't control what happens outside of school, we can foster a passion for reading by creating protected time during the school day. I've even seen some fun challenges in school, such as the Million Words Challenge, which adds a competitive spin to reading.
Well, that's it for today's episode. Keep reading, keep growing, and we'll see you next month. Don't forget to email me, Tanya Vince, the secret word.